Thank you for listening to this message from the North Peak.
If you don't rush me, I'll take my time and we'll have a good time. Because I got really swirled out last night. I felt like death when I went to my hotel room last night. I was like, I need a divine nap. I need a deep sleep, Lord. And like every time I come to the North Gate, sleep becomes optional. And I wrote until the wee hours of the morning. And I'm going to share with you four dimensions of uncontainable joy. And the Lord, I never put these things together, but last night when I got in my hotel room, the Lord just made it so clear we were going to open up this Proverbs 3 revelation and just go a little deeper with it. But you guys are a big deal to us, a high watermark, really, for Desi and I. And many times, man, I can still go back like it was yesterday. I still smell that red carpet in the gym. I think if you'd have laid there long enough, you might have got like hepatitis C. But I remember those days. And I remember just being so exhausted from traveling and being on the road all that time. And I remember old Papa Raj walking over to me. I was so worn out by the system, man. And that man put his arms around me and gave me a hug that absorbed all the exhaustion that was in me, and you brought life into me. Remember that sound? I remember the honor. I remember the love. And Desi and I are like, Lord, if there's anything you can do in our people in Covington, Georgia, is let them walk in the honor of the North Gate. You guys are absolutely incredible to us. And it's been too long in seeing you, but it's just amazing what the Lord is doing. And to see these babies growing up, oh, Father God. Lord, slow that part down. But let Bobby's revelation come forth of the timeless dimension. Let them just stay right there. And to hear their sound, not just see them get older, but hear their sound, it's just absolutely amazing. So I just want to honor you guys. So love Jimmy and Tina and who they are with us. Jimmy and I have two things that normally happen when we get together. Something really incredible happens, and we usually get in trouble together. So we'll see. We haven't got any phone calls yet, so that's good. Jimmy and I get in an explosive meeting, and then all of a sudden, about 2 days later, we get called into a meeting. What in the world were y'all doing? We're just obeying God. Yeah. Oh, man, let's open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. This is going to be fun. I'm just here to tell you. Yahweh took us through a significant process when we were in South Carolina, really to empty us of religion and to bring us back into the wonder of the gospel. And one of the things that I did not grow up around was happy Christians. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Come on, man. What I grew up around were people that shouted on Sunday but were miserable the rest of the week. Which makes me wonder if what we experienced on Sunday was real. And what the Lord's been introducing me to is, he's saying, Mark, he said, I'm restoring the wonder of the gospel, and the wonder of the gospel is making happy Christians. I know that might be too deep for you, but if you just got a little bit of Jesus' joy in your life, it would make all the difference in the world. 'Cause we all know what it was like to be miserable and fasting for a breakthrough in the nation. And then today we get to be in the presence of God, continue saying yes to the one thing that's really going to change it all, and take our seats in the heavenly places by the one who laughs over his enemies. And what I'm learning about the Father is his laugh is just as strong of a warfare tool as our fasting. The Old Testament called the people to fast when they needed breakthrough. The New Testament calls us to a feast. Praise God. That went over really well. Woo! Yeah, it's PTSD from those days. Yeah, fasting days. They were like, oh God, is he calling us to one? No. 21-day feast. So I'm going to do my best to try to go through all of this, because I'm telling you, man, I mean, this will probably turn into something for our Shepherd's Tent family for weeks, but this is where we're going to go for now. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. This really struck me last night as I got in the hotel room. I heard Jimmy tell the story again that he shared there, because Jimmy and I don't really talk about what we're preaching. We just call and check up on each other and talk about family and football and what our kids are doing, and we don't really talk about those things. But I heard him tell this, and last night it just kept ringing in my ear, and the Lord just gave me a download. So here we go. Trust in the Lord completely. This is Passion Translation, the official translation. Trust in the Lord completely, and do not rely on your own opinions. With all of your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. I'm going to stop right there. I don't care how close to God you think you are. The Bible says John the Revelator, John the Beloved, was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Revelation chapter 1, caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In that realm of heavenly encounter, he hears a voice call from behind him, which means you can be caught up in that realm and still turn the wrong way. So, let me read that again with that understanding. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes, here's where true wisdom comes. When you adore Him, what were we just doing? We call it worship, and that's exactly what we're doing. But worship is the entrance of wisdom. For wisdom comes when you adore Him. You're beautiful in all of your ways. Wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. What a novel idea. Stay away from troublemakers. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Listen to this. You're looking for healing? Worship. Worship. Stay away from dishonorable people. And then what happens? Healing, refreshment that you need comes to your body and spirit. Verse 9, glorify God with all of your wealth, honoring Him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then, listen to this. This is where we're going to get into something here. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Oh, my, here. All right. That old West Virginia Pentecostal thing, my, started coming out of me. Let me see if I can't pull this up. Don't rush me. Just give me a second here. I'm going to pull this up, see if I can find this. So the first dimension that I want to talk to you about today, and no particular order. This is just how it came to me. The first dimension that you and I can come into as it relates to uncontainable joy is to first realize that that dimension begins in the very nature of Abba. Abba is uncontainable joy. Now, I know most of you grew up like me where you had an idea of Yahweh, like Greek mythology. He's Zeus, sitting on his throne with lightning bolts in his hand, ready to strike you when you thought a dirty word. You know? But Abba is happy. Okay, let me find it. So, the first dimension, Abba is happy. He is our source of joy. I'm going to prove it to you. In Zephaniah chapter 3, I love that Tina sang this song. I'm just teaching this morning. She sang this song, and I don't even know the words for it. I can't even think of them right now. But you sang, how's it go? You sang until I found my song. You danced till my heart woke up. Keep feeding them to me because this is really good. It's better when you say it. Oh, perfect. See, man, this is great. You sang, as Dr. Lowry would say, Jimmy wouldn't be worth half a hallelujah if it weren't for Tina. I could just hear his voice. Saw his picture in your office. You sang, talking about Abba. You sang till I found my song. You danced till my heart woke up. Now I move to the rhythm of your love, and I can't praise you enough. You wept till I found my strength. You lost your breath, dying to save. What is this? John said, this is the revelation of the beloved. We love him because he first loved us. This is the gospel. We don't graduate to getting loved by God because we muster up love from ourselves. The only reason we have the ability to love God is because his love was first extended towards us. So that's why this song's so appropriate. He sang until I found my song. Right? And you can see this beautifully in Zephaniah chapter 3. There's this command by the prophet Zephaniah in Zephaniah 3:14 that we, the daughters of Zion, are to sing aloud, we're to shout for joy, we're to rejoice, and we're to exalt with all of our heart, Yahweh. But then Zephaniah 3:17 gives us the reason why we should do that. It says, because the Lord your God is in your midst. Here's why we do what we did this morning. It's because the Lord our God is in our midst. And it says, he's a mighty one who will save. And listen to this. He will rejoice, which means in the Hebrew, he will give a display of joy over you with gladness. So there's two references to Yahweh being in our midst, showing a display of joy. And it says, he will quiet you by his love, and he will spin around you with loud, joyful singing. That is Yahweh. That is Abba. Today, while you and I were lifting up our voice and singing about his beauty, you know what he was doing? He was displaying joy over us with gladness, and he was spinning around us, shouting over us with shouts of joy. Once you begin to understand that the Abba that you are in union with is the exact express image of uncontainable joy, that should cause that to be unlocked into your life. You and I are image bearers of the one we worship. And if we see him appropriately as the source of uncontainable joy, guess what will start breaking out in our life? Uncontainable joy. And it's time that we finally fix the record. If Jesus came to deal with all of our misconceptions about who the Father is, then maybe we're here to deal with all the misconceptions of who the world thinks the Father is too. And I'm telling you, my God is not sitting on his throne with sweat on his brow, wringing his hands about what's happening with our election and our nation. He who sits upon his throne laughs over all of his enemies. How does God war? You should try it sometime. So, let's look at this. Psalm 16, verse 11. I think I wrote this down. I got notes all over the place, y'all. I'm just here to tell you. What do we know about the presence of Abba? Psalm 16, 11. In your presence, Abba, is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wait a second. I thought he had a lightning bolt in his hand. No. At his right hand are pleasures. I'm going to wait. I'm just going to sit in this until you start really using your brain and your spirit and that head-to-heart thing happens and a lightning strike hits your heart and you go, oh, my God, he really is a God of joy. Oh, my Lord, I don't have to be miserable. Oh, my Lord, you mean that me as a Christian can come out of depression? Yes! He is anointed with the oil of joy. Now, I don't know about if you're a Browns fan, what that'll do for you. But, man, this turned really quick. Hey, don't mess with me. We'll talk about idolatry here in a minute, so. Never good when your team's turd colors, but, you know, it is what it is. And if there's any orange in it, you might need to go see the doctor. I told you God's happy. That was divine inspiration right there. I'm just telling you. Let me ask you a question this morning. It's not about your last bathroom visit. It's a different one. Because some people are like, well, what was my last one like? Oh, my Lord. Shut the live stream off immediately. This is not good. Okay. Do you believe the Bible to be true when it says that Jesus is the express image of the Father? Jesus is the language of God. He's the exact express image. He's the living blueprint of who God really is. Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Jesus, as a perfect representation of the Father, you know, he delights in giving you joy. So how do you know that? His first miracle was to ensure the wedding didn't end early. They were 3 days into a celebration. The first miracle that brings him out onto the scene is him delighting in the joy of a wedding party. Well, brother, you know it wasn't really. It was real wine. And they drank. Some of y'all, I can't believe he's up here talking like that. I can't believe you're miserable and a Christian. smile at me real fast, even if it ain't your teeth. What's that say about the Father? He values celebration. He values family. And He delights in you walking in joy. Come on, man. Jesus, according to Psalm 45, was anointed with the oil of bliss. I'm going to talk to you about this word bliss in a moment. He's anointed with the oil of bliss and the oil of fervent joy. We've been fervent in prayer, but we're coming into the days where prayer will be an oil of fervent joy. I prophesy to you, there's joy coming to the house of prayer. There is an oil of bliss and fervent joy that is about to be released to the people of God. How? Through union. What keeps these things from funneling into our lives is perverted thoughts about the nature of God. When Yahweh brings you a revelation, it becomes a doorway into your spirit. It becomes a gate. And I'm telling you, there is an oil reserved for those who will open themselves up to this part of the nature of God. And once you realize that's in Him, you will receive it. He is the vine and we are the what? Branches. Luke said in chapter 10, verse 21, that Jesus was full of joy by way of the Holy Ghost. Which means if you have the Holy Ghost, you should be doing something more than just speaking in tongues. You can also use that same tongue to laugh. I'm telling you, man, some of the meanest people I met in my childhood were tongue talkers. Shitalababa, shut your mouth. It's like, man, it's like you were just speaking in tongues. How'd you go from a sweet well to a bitter well just like that? So, Jesus is the perfect picture of the Father, and by way of His union with the Father through the Holy Ghost, He was full of joy. Second dimension, Abba, who is the source of uncontainable joy, lives in a realm we call the kingdom, but it's called the Zion realm. So, again, these are in no particular order, but your happy Father lives in a happy place called the Zion realm. I'm not preaching anything mystical here. This is all in your Bible. You were too miserable to see it. I was too. Join the club. But I'm not who I used to be. Man, I'm telling you, some of you got saved under Zeus. And you need to be born again under Abba. Well, hallelujah to Jesus. Both Father and Son dwell in the Zion realm. Psalm 48, I'm going to go here. Sorry, I don't have any of this prepared. I'm telling you, it just came to me like this. Psalm 48, verse 2 and 3. It says, Zion City is His home. He lives on His holy mountain. High and glorious, joy-filled, and favored. Zion Mountain looms in the farthest reaches of the north, the city of our incomparable King. This is His divine abode, an impenetrable citadel. For He is known to dwell in the highest place, man. Ah, Zion's realm is the kingdom realm. The kingdom of God is made up of three parts: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where's it at? In the Holy Ghost. Are you filled with Holy Ghost? Then you have righteousness, you have peace, and you have joy in the Holy Ghost. That's right. Some of you are getting it. It's good. You can do this at home too. I'm getting ornery up here. Your wife would appreciate it too. Shanda. I'm telling you, my wife is an amazing woman. She married me through those years of systemic ministry. She loved me so well. Our marriage was amazing. But coming out of religion and stepping into the joy-filled experience of the kingdom, she can't keep her hands off of me. So that's just how it goes. You shouldn't talk about that. I'm modeling a kingdom marriage for you. I'm not listening. I don't care what you say out there. I'm not listening to you. People are starting to talk about their marriages too. I'm like, shilalama kandalamaya. So, by way of the finished work, you have been brought, you have been brought back to Zion. You not only are one with Abba, but you've been brought back into his realm, the Zion realm, which is filled with what? Joy. It's joy filled. Now listen to this. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to talk to you about how we worship, how we enter into the presence of the Lord. You didn't know you're coming to a Bible study this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For we are not coming as Moses did to a physical mountain with its burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom. If that's what your prayer life looks like, you're climbing the wrong mountain. Oh my God, I got to stand up on that one. Don't climb up the wrong mountain. Whew, get me unseated right there. Crack this monster open in a second. We are not those who are being warned by a jarring blast of a trumpet and the thundering voice, the fearful voice that they begged to be silenced. They couldn't handle God's command that said, if so much as an animal approaches the mountain, it is to be stoned to death. The astounding phenomenon Moses witnessed caused him to shudder with fear, and he could only say, I am trembling in terror. By contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm. The Zion realm, the joy-filled realm, come on, where the happy God lives and Jesus and the circle dance is being danced in the Zion realm, and you get to join in the dance. You've come into a totally different realm, the Zion realm. For we have entered the city of the living God, which is in the New Jerusalem in heaven. Not a far distant place. The kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. We have joined, you ready for this? The feastal gathering of a myriad of angels. In their what? Joyous celebration. If Yahweh would open your eyes for you to be able to actually see into the Zion realm today, your eyes would be open and you would see the joy-filled face of not only seraphim and cherubim, but you would see the joy-filled faces of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You would see the joy-filled faces of John Wesley and Smith Wigglesworth. You would see the joy-filled faces of the saints of old, because we now, through eternal life, are one with the whole Zion realm. We are surrounded about with such a great cloud of witnesses. And they're not up there going, oh God, don't let them screw it up. They're cheering us on saying, if you only knew how joyful it is here, you'd smile and dance your way all through the life, this life. So, listen to this. Oh man, this is firing me up. Psalm 126. This is the song. This is a song of ascension. They call it a song of the stairway. Jesus said, I tell you this eternal truth from this moment forward. He said, there will be an open heaven. And he said, that ladder will have the angels of God ascending and descending. There's a ladder where you and I, not just the angels of God, but you and I can ascend and descend into that realm. Here's a song that talks about it. It was like a dream come true, Psalms 126. It was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage. The first bondage you had to get rid of was sin. The second bondage you had to get rid of was religion. It was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and you brought us back to Zion, the joy-filled place. I'm telling you, depression is running out of this room right now. Hopelessness is running out of this room because you are starting to realize you are a citizen of the Zion realm. Listen to this. When you freed us from our bondage, brought us back to Zion, we laughed and laughed and overflowed with gladness. I'm in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. When we got delivered of our bondage, we laughed and laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in. Joy may be the greatest evangelistic tool we have. I got proof. It says when they saw the joy on our face and they saw us get delivered of our bondage and they saw us laughing and laughing, all the nations joined in with us. They saw it, which means joy's visible. So is your depression. To get really corny with it, but the Lord's coming to turn your frown upside down. I'm just having fun this morning. They saw us laughing. They saw it. They joined in. And this is what they said. The Lord has done great miracles for them. Which tells me you get in this joy-filled realm, and when you get in the joy-filled realm, there are miracles in that realm. He said, the Lord's done great. The nation saw it. They joined in and started saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. And this is what the nations say. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore to us our former glory. Which means if the nations are asking for their former glory, then that means they've seen glory on us. And what does that glory look like? Us laughing. Get delivered of your miserable Christianity. Misery loves company, but we're not in that company anymore. In the dimension, are you ready for this? And I want you to get planted in the Zion realm. You ready? Psalms 1. Psalms 1. You'll be like trees planted by rivers of living water. You know what the Passion Translation says? That your roots may go deep into the brook of bliss. This just keeps getting better. You will always manifest the God you've made in your image. Reason why, those people that I grew up with were mean as hell during the week, but acted like Christians on Sunday, is because that's how they saw God. They're only manifesting the image in which they see Yahweh. Praise God. That's good stuff, Mark. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, if you are to be a Psalms 1 tree, with roots planted deeply into the brook of bliss, guess what? That means that if devotional inconsistency is gone and no more seasons exist in your life, then neither is your joy seasonal. If there's joy in the roots, there's joy in the what? Fruit. Whatever you're rooted in will manifest. If you're rooted in anxiety, you will manifest anxiety. If you're rooted in anger, you will manifest anger. If you get rooted in bliss, you will manifest bliss. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. All right, here's the third dimension the Lord showed me. Isaiah 56, verse 7. The Lord says, I will welcome you into my holy mountain, that's Zion, and make you joyful in my house of prayer. Oh, man. John 16, verse 23. You are now the house of prayer. Yes. You're now the house of prayer. So we're going to go over to John 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's a little ways past Genesis. John 16, verse 23. Jesus is saying here, for here is eternal truth. When that time comes, talking about post-resurrection, you won't need to ask me for anything. But instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Jesus didn't just die to get you out of hell. He completed the work the Father gave him so he could share with you the same relationship he shared with his Father. Verse 24, until now you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask. And keep on asking, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. Wait a second. He's the source of uncontainable joy, lives in a realm that is joy-filled. And now, through my union as the house of prayer, what happens? Now I start manifesting a joy without what? Limits. What are we talking about today? Uncontainable joy. Fourth dimension. And you can go deeper in these things later. I'm just giving it. I report, you decide. There you go. And if you understand what I just said, you watch too much news. All right, fourth dimension, you ready? Righteousness. You, by way of Jesus, not based upon your own works, you by way of the finished work, he who knew no sin became sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. We have a perfect relationship with the Father. Just let that settle into you for a second. You have, through Jesus, a perfect relationship with God. Some of you are in this room right now wondering if God even paid attention to anything you said this week because you feel like you scored a bad report card with your behavior this week. And I'm telling you, if you're looking at your behavior for your relationship with Abba, then you are missing the gospel. Because the gospel is, he burned up your report card. The gospel is, the handwriting of the requirements of the law were crucified on the tree with him that were against you. The old arrest warrant that was coming to chase you down was taken away at the cross. You are not guilty, nor is there any more evidence that points to you as the guilty one. So in Romans 4, David starts talking about the realm of righteousness. Zephora, these are not the only dimensions. These are just the ones the Lord said, I want you to show them this morning. The fourth dimension is the declaration of righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even King David himself speaks to us regarding the complete wholeness. Romans 4, 6. The complete wholeness that comes inside a person when God's powerful declaration of righteousness is heard over our life. Apart from our works, God's work is enough. Here's what David says. Ready? Here we go. What happy fulfillment is ahead for those whose rebellion has been forgiven and whose sins are covered by blood. You ready? What happy progress comes to them when they hear the Lord speak over them. I will never hold your sins against you. Hear that today. The voice of Abba is not counting up your sins going, you lied, you cussed, you did these things. I don't recommend you do those things. But what I'm saying is, he's not counting your sins against you. He says, I will never. On this side of the cross, on this side of the blood, on this side of the empty tomb, on this side of the ascension and seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, I will not hold your sins against you. And he said, and David's saying here that happy progress comes to us in the realm of devotion. Some of us are not progressing in devotion because we've not heard the declaration of righteousness. And the righteousness of God steps into your imperfect story and says, quit counting sins because I'm not. I will not hold your sins against you. David says, when you hear that declaration, you'll come into a state of complete wholeness. Religion taught us that the gospel, it's settled, just like that. Just like that. Not guilty. Religion said, you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to pick up all the, these make great Southern gospel songs. He wants to pick up all the broken pieces of your life. He wants to pick them all up. And he wants to put you back together. Wrong. He actually wants to discard all the broken pieces and offer you a whole image. Which includes a smile. He's not trying to pick up all the broken pieces. Some of you are like, well, I missed it back then. He told me to do this and I didn't do it. And now I got all these broken pieces on my life. I was supposed to do this. I end up doing this. And we start looking at all the mistakes and the problems and all these things. And then somebody comes along with a really good religious message they probably got off of a plaque at Hobby Lobby. And goes, God wants to bring all the broken pieces of your life back together. We love Hobby Lobby. My wife's probably offended by me saying that. I'll take you to Cheesecake Factory. See how that, man, we're in the kingdom, man. Mighty God. All right. Going to pick up all the broken pieces of your life. And he's going to put you together like a beautiful mosaic. We didn't come to this mountain like Moses. We come in an entirely different way. And he says, I'm not trying to get all of these things fixed. I'm not trying to right all of your wrongs. I want you to finally, once and for all, to allow me to completely remove the broken pieces of your life. And I'm going to offer you my image, which is a whole image, which includes showing your teeth. And you don't have to scream at demons. You can laugh in the yard playing with your kids. And I think that drives demons within 1,000 miles from your house, and you didn't even have to focus on any of them. You were just enjoying your life. Isn't it amazing when we came into the gospel, how many demons stopped showing up? Because you were letting them know you believed the gospel was almost finished. It is finished. Which includes your broken image. Oh man, if I had time, I would teach you Romans chapter 6, that when Jesus came, he completely eliminated your sin nature. It's in Romans chapter 6, if you want to read it later, Romans 6, 6, he completely took away your sin nature at the cross. You that are in Christ no longer have a sin nature. So, that cute little testimony you used to tell where you would say, God pulled me out of a lifestyle of sin. No, he pulled sin out of you. The testimony's not complete because he pulled you out of a wrong storyline. The testimony is there's not a chance in hell that there's any hell inside of me. He took my sin out of me. So why am I so happy this morning? Not because I'm not just rescued from hell. I know I'm rescued from hell. But I'm even rescued from the chance that hell would have a place inside of me. So be happy, be glad. I'm just afraid I'm going to go back into sin. It's not there to go back to. That's why we have so many people backsliding, because we give them another option. The gospel doesn't give them another option. You say, are you saying that once saved, always saved? If you do it right, I am. Almost shotgunned that monster. Don't ask me how I know how to do that. I'm from West Virginia. What scares me is some of you women showed me how to do it while I was up there talking about it. Good for you. Are we good on time? It's not even 12 o'clock. Oh, Bobby, keep praying for us, man. What was I talking about? Shotgunning monsters. It's prophetic. Isn't that beautiful? It's the gospel, man. It's not a chance for you to go back to sin, because he removed that. Let's go a little further. You ready for this? In Genesis, in the garden, there's two trees present in the garden. Tree of knowledge, good and evil, and tree of life. Get to Revelation 21, 22, which is full circle. Back to the garden. Guess what? There's only one tree. Tree of life. Where did the other tree go? Where did the tree of the knowledge of good and evil go? He was crucified on that one. So there's not even a chance I can screw it up, because now I only have one tree to eat from. It's the tree of life. And there's tons of happy fruit in the tree of life. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Woo. Somebody just get a little jig for Jesus there right now, man. That's good news. My roots are coming out, man. Castos are from Scotland area and from West Virginia. We're crazy, man. Woo! Isn't that good? So what is bliss? Finally getting here. What's bliss? Earlier this year, good Lord. Corona apparently affects your memory. Because all my days get mixed together now. It's wild. So, I'm sitting in my house. Remember when Apostle said, what you do with what you hear in 2019 will determine what you see in 2020. Well, we got to 2020 and didn't like what we saw. I got to ask some of y'all, what were y'all hearing? We get a redo? No, seriously. I know in the natural we didn't like what we saw, but I'm telling you, this has been one of the greatest years of our life. It's true, man. If you can't shake your head, it's because you need this message. And we're not looking through the eyes of the night. This has been one of the greatest years we've ever had. So, this was some part of 2019. I don't even remember when. I'm going to try to say when. I heard the Lord say, get up, walk to Peter Marshall's old church, which is not even a mile from our house. Peter Marshall was called the happy gospel preacher. I walk over there. I say, okay, Lord, I'm looking at the church. Been here many times. What are you saying? He said, walk around the corner. So I go left, walk around the corner, start walking down the sidewalk. He said, look up. I look up. I see a sign. And the sign is, all I could see on the sign was, hear bliss. Hear bliss. And the Lord said, did I not tell you through your apostle what you do with what you hear in 2019 will determine what you see in 2020? Well, as you get, and so I took a picture of it, Hear Bliss. Well, you walk down, it's actually a salon called Sheer Bliss. But the pole or the column that was standing in the way cut off the S. I couldn't see it, so it just said, Hear Bliss. The Lord said, once you go home, and I want you to practice what your apostle said, and I want you to believe that your word is bliss. 2 weeks later, Hollywood comes into Covington to record a movie with Vince Vaughn. He was running around the square acting like a wild man. They were recording him. Some of our folks saw him while he was there. It was wild. They did a movie, and guess what they named the town? Our town gets name changes all the time for movies. They called it Blissfield. Field of Bliss, Bliss Field. I said, my God, even Vince Vaughn's prophetic. Oh, God, somebody heard that right now, started writing an article. Blew me away, man. You know what bliss means? A perfect state of happiness that's oblivious to its surroundings. So if we really heard that word correctly, then we could stand in the middle of a pandemic and be unmoved. Because it's a state of perfect happiness that's oblivious to natural conditions. The Beatitudes. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. And you go through the whole thing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed. You know, a great translation for that word blessed would be bliss. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. Happy are the poor. Happy are the hungry. Bliss. Oblivious to all of our surroundings. This is a dimension you and I are called to live in. A joy that is not contingent upon our circumstances. A joy that is fixed just like the finished work. No one should be able to impact my joy on any level. That's the problem. So that's the problem. We put unrealistic expectations on our spouses, unrealistic expectation on our kids, unrealistic expectation on our spiritual authorities, unrealistic expectations we place on friends, and we're depending on them to provide something that should be totally fixed in Jesus. It's time for you to quit blaming your misery on everybody else and start blaming Jesus for your joy. Yes. Almighty God. Well, Mark, now, it's an election year. Don't you care about what's happening with the Chinese virus? I'm going to tell you about the Psalms 2 laughing king. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. All that stuff on Facebook you're freaking out about and posting about is futile. Oh my God, did you hear what they said? It will come to naught. Brother, the Antichrist is about to come. No, Jesus is about to show up on the scene with a happy people. Don't be messing with my end times. I read the whole Left Behind series. I watched A Thief in the Night at a lock-in at a youth group 25 years ago. I did too. Scared the crap out of me. What idea? What a great idea. Let's get a bunch of scared, hormonal teenagers. Keep them at the church with their glorified babysitters called the youth pastors and play Thief in the Night. Might as well play Children of the Corn. That weird dude walking through the corn patch. Might as well have been the Antichrist. That was our idea of a youth group. No wonder they all left the church when they graduated high school. We scared the hell out of them. Heard the song they play at the beginning while the clock's ticking? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Don't even go look that up on YouTube. I'm telling you, it still scares the crap out of me. I'm talking my first lock-in. All I can think about the rest of the night is they're going to put me in a white gown and take me to the gallows, to the guillotine. If a horn blew too loud beside of me or if I was close to a train track and I didn't hear the train coming, I knew Jesus just came and my parents' clothes were going to be perfectly folded wherever they were seated at. We wonder why we didn't have any joy. We had the wrong image of the Father. I'll tell another funny one because it's just a good time to tell jokes. Social distancing here. I never forget waking up. I was a teenager. Making really poor decisions. It was the chemicals, man. It was the chemicals. And I woke up. I go into the living room. I don't see my parents there, but the TV was on. It was a newscast. Millions have vanished. It's funny now. It was not funny then. Millions have vanished. Planes have crashed. Cars have crashed. And people are missing. My little brain at, like, I think I was probably 15, started rolling through the index. I went back to A Thief in the Night, all those things. I was like, the trumpet sounded, and I slept through the whole thing. first thing I go check is my mom and dad's room. Maybe they overslept and this is just all weird thing, coincidence. I run to their room. My mom has perfectly folded clothes in the bed. This is not a joke, y'all. This is real life. I'm telling you how I was raised. That's why I got a tick a little bit. I was raised like this. I knew with the report on the TV, the folded clothes in their bed, her bed wasn't made, but the clothes were folded. I'm still a little upset about this. It was a devil loose, man. And the first thing I know, man, I literally run out of the house and I am in the front yard on 24th Street in Nitro, West Virginia, 15 years old, and I am crying out to God on my knees. And my parents pull up in the vehicle. I think I cussed immediately. I'm just telling you. They said, "What's wrong with you?" There was a thing on it. We walked back in the house, and it was some stupid eschatology movie on TBN. I said, "Dad, listen, quit leaving that stuff on when y'all leave the house. Shut the TV off. Save some electric." Anybody else, or is it just me? Brother, in a prayer meeting at a barn just 7 years ago, before the Lord delivered me out of all of this garbage and wrong theology about the Father, I was in a prayer meeting in a barn, and a train came by. We were all lost in spirit, and that train, whoo, I mean, that track is just right there, whoo, and me and my eyes were, to see if anybody left, and I was the pastor. I'm making sure some of them old saints that I knew Jesus didn't leave. Once I saw that Connie was still there, I was like, "Oh, thank you, Father." No wonder we were not full of joy. We even turned our eschatology, our end time view, into a hopeless view. And here's the problem, guys. I'm not just trying to be funny. I'm trying to prove a point. We really grew up that way. And the Lord is coming in this hour and dealing with those misconceptions about the Father. And I said, "Lord, if there's anything I can do the rest of my life, is help me preach the gospel in such a way where people will be drawn to you by the goodness of God and not to be afraid of just hell. God is good. God is love. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." So today, I want to invite you into Zion realm with the happy God, where the declaration of righteousness can be heard and you can come into a complete wholeness, and in that complete wholeness you will receive bliss. That bliss is an uncontainable joy that's oblivious to all of your surroundings. Who wants some of that today? Man. I'll finish with just a few quotes. See here. I got to read some of these to you because I need you to know this is just not my opinion. And I'm even going to use some of the guys that you all thought were mean to prove God's happy. David said in Psalm 40:16, "May all those who seek you be happy and rejoice in you." Psalms 97 verse 12, "You are the Lord's people, so celebrate." David repented in Psalm 51, verse 12, and here's what he asked for: the joy of my salvation. Luke 2:10, the angels declared the gospel to be good news of great joy. Oh, it's 12:05. I promise. I'm going to get you to Bob Evans now. Man, when you almost got a sneeze in Corona, you just fight it, man, like spiritual warfare. You will stay in there. I bind you right now to my nose. Don't ever invite me here after a conference. I'm delirious. Oh, it is. I'm serious, man. I believe we're in it. I believe we're in the flow here. Philippians chapter 2, 18. Paul told the church in Philippi, you also should be happy and full of joy with me. Paul wrote that from a prison cell. How could he write that? He was not in prison in the Roman sense. He was a prisoner of the love of God, and he had the bliss of God that was oblivious to all of his surroundings, which means you can make your bed in hell, and my Father will still find you there. And you can put me in a prison, and I'll still have joy unspeakable and full of glory, man. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Ready? I'm going to give it to you through church history now. Francis of Assisi said, let us leave sadness to the devil and his angels. As for us, what can we be but rejoicing and glad? That was a Catholic. I got the Holy Ghost. Rejoice and be glad. Leave sadness to the devil. Thomas Watson, a Puritan preacher, this would have been in the 1600s, he said, he has no design upon us, the Father has no design upon us, but to make us happy. Who should be cheerful if not the people of God? Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest British preachers, 1800, said this: those who are the beloved of the Lord must be the happiest and joy-filled people to be found anywhere on the face of the earth. Where's that Spurgeon quote? The great evangelist George Whitefield, First Great Awakening. Is it the end of religion to make men happy? And is it not everyone's privilege to be as happy as he can be? This is George Whitefield, man. We don't hear these messages. He then went on to ask an audience, does Jesus want your heart only for the same end as the devil does? To make you miserable? No, he only wants you to believe on him that you might be saved. This is all the dear Savior desires, to make you happy that you may leave your sins and to sit down eternally with him. G.K. Chesterton, this would have been early 1900s, said Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. We're all right, Jimmy. We're going to be all right. The great reformer, Martin Luther, 1500s. It is pleasing to the dear God whenever you rejoice or laugh from the bottom of your heart. Just in case you forgot, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So, I believe today, Yahweh sent me as a brother, an uncle, a crazy uncle, to tell you, you're coming into your most joyful days. Did you hear me? You're going to look back on 2020 and say, this was the greatest year of my life. because I finally got in a place of union where I inherited bliss and I became oblivious to everything that was around me. And I'm telling you, if you don't know this God and you don't know this Jesus and you want Him through the power of the Holy Spirit and you want joy, today's the day. I said, some of you got born again by Zeus. You thought, you got saved under an idea of God as Zeus. And you've been walking around like people, like little kids, afraid to get spanked. And I'm telling you, He will correct us. I still believe that. He corrects us. He will lead us. Chastisement, even at times, is the proof of sonship. But I'm telling you, your primary revelation has to start with God is love and God is good. For it is the goodness of the Lord that leads men to change the way that they think. So today I want to invite you to leave the pandemic. Today I want you to quit identifying as just an American citizen and realize your citizenship is in the Zion realm. I want you to vote. But whatever the outcome is, you still have bliss. Because once the nations see us in Zion realm, they will join in with us. So I want you to stand on your feet. It's really different for me because usually I'm running the walls here at your all spot. But I think it was exactly right. If you don't know that image of Him, I want you to lift your hands and ask for it. Right there. The altar call's right at your seat. But you ask for it. You don't have that image of Him. I want you to look up and I want you to see Him smiling at you. That fire in His eyes is not a fire of judgment upon you. That fire in His eyes is His passionate love for His bride. He's jealous. He's jealous for you, not against you. So lift your hands right now. And I want you to receive the image of the One who is uncontainable joy. And Yahweh says, as you begin to set your affection on Him, depression and anything that's outside of that happy nature is leaving your spirit. It's leaving your mind. It's leaving your body. Come on, man. I'm telling you. It's happening right now. Depression is leaving you right now. The emotional instability is leaving right now. It's happening right now. As I was reading verses, it was happening. The mind was beginning to crack open to the goodness of God. I'm telling you, it's happening. So right now, I want you to see it. Just as Papa Raj hugged me that one day, stuff just fell off of my life. Abba, the good God, is hugging you in this moment, and He's absorbing all of that that is not in His nature to remove it completely from you. Oh, man. This is your last, I'm going to make an announcement to some of you. This is your last day of depression. It's your last day of postpartum depression. This is your last day. This is your last day in the pig's pen of past mistakes. You, son, are going to shake yourself, come to yourself, and come home to the Abba that's ready to throw a party on your behalf. But if I go back home, He's going to only make me a servant. No, if you go back home, He's going to have a party. But I wasted it all. Yeah, but I still got more. I dirtied my robe. Get Him a new one. I lost my signet ring. Get Him another one. Something deep is happening right now, I'm telling you. Just lift your hands. Come on, I want to do it without music because I want to prove that you can do this at home. That's what I love. Jimmy and I were talking about this. We go to the conference this weekend. You know what we do? The answer for sustaining what's happening in the conference is keep doing what we've been doing. Hosting presence, saying yes to the one thing, going home, stewarding the word of the Lord and the things that happen. That's what we're doing this morning. We're saying yes to the long path and say, but this long path is full of bliss. So I don't care if it's just a hairline fracture of the heart that allows depression or any form of emotional instability. Yahweh says, I'm healing that in my presence right now. The tension in your marriage is coming from your hopelessness. Yahweh says, but when you see me for who I really am, there's a joy coming to your marriage like you've never known. Yahweh says this morning, I'm fixing the way that you think your life's going to end by fixing the way it's really going to end. Your eschatology actually gave you a hopeless view of how your life would transition at the end. Death, where is your sting? Come on, I'm telling you, some of you have been contemplating in the room what the end of your life is going to look like. And the Lord says, bliss. The easiest transition into eternal life. You're in eternal life. There's coming a time. Well, you will make a transition into the eternal dimension, into the Zion realm. And Yahweh says, but you'll never know it. I'm telling you, I'm dealing with some stuff prophetically that's happening in your mind. You won't even know it. The fear of death is leaving the room. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. When can he be that? Now. I don't know if I believe that. Lazarus. King tried, they were trying to kill Lazarus after he had been resurrected. Some of the commentaries of what actually happened to Lazarus after Jesus ascended is fascinating. They tried to kill him again, and he laughed at them. And he said, death is dead. Death is dead. Along with your sin nature, along with your depression, along with your anxiety. And I'm telling you, and today, we're not going to focus on just what's fallen off of you. We're going to focus on what you're coming into. You're coming into the joy-filled Zion realm. So throw up your hands and just begin to release your sound to the Lord. Come on. Joy-filled Zion realm sound. Come on, just take a few moments and just get into the joy-filled Zion realm. Come on, he laughed over you so you could get to this moment. I'm telling you, the joy-filled manifestation of the Zion realm is coming through the North Gate. Holy Ghost.
I felt that revelation that Tina got a couple weeks ago. That some of you in this room really need to grab a hold of this. And there is no disappointment in God. You cannot and you will not find any disappointment in God. And so if you have disappointments, it's somehow you believed in your mind that you missed an appointment or you missed an opportunity. And there is no disappointment in Him. And I'm telling you, the announcement was made by our apostle at the beginning part of this year in Kannapolis. That 2020, he was coming to deal with the hairline fractures of our hearts. And I feel like the Lord gave me something that I'm going to give to the whole congregation as we leave here today. And you take this to prayer this week, and I gave it to the men on Wednesday. And it was this. One of the greatest treasures the Lord has ever given us is a memory. We were made in the likeness and the ability of God, and God has the ability to remember everything in your life. Listen to what I said. He has the ability to remember everything, and so do you. And here's the awesome part of it. He chooses to only remember the good things. He takes every bit of sin that he pulls out of you, every bad memory of your life you keep trying to bring to him. The Bible says that he took every bad memory, covered it with his son's blood, and cast it as far as the east is to the west into the sea of forgetfulness. So when you try to bring up all these bad things, he's like, I have no idea what you're... He literally, God's being silent. No, he doesn't know what you're talking about. Why am I praying about this, God, and you're not speaking to me? Because he doesn't remember that. He doesn't even know it exists. No more knowledge. That revelation. What happened to that tree? He did away with it. He died on it. So when you catch yourself in depression, anxiety, it's because you're choosing to bring up a memory that he cast as far as the east is to the west, and so should you. He only chooses to remember the good. That's why you bring those treasures of those good memories to your heart. I say this at every funeral. I just didn't realize that bad memories and bad thoughts, God chooses not even to deal with those. He blotted them out with the blood of covenant and chose to never remember them again. That's why he won't even talk to you about that. But God, you don't understand. He's like, listen, have you ever had that conversation with somebody? You know what I'm talking about? You were there. I have no, and you're frustrated. You got to remember this. I don't remember it at all. That's some of your frustration. You're trying to get God to remember something, and he's going, sorry. Yeah. Past sins are imaginary, Mark just said. Past sins. Maybe your own vain imagination.
Yeah. I just want to drive this home, man, because I'm telling you, man, you need to hear this. Romans 6, I'm just going to read it to you. Verse 5, for since we are permanently grafted in, man, Holy Ghost, there's a new baptism coming to the North Gate. Like a physical baptism. Like baptizing them into a spiritual reality. A real baptism. You get it done before the North Pole shows up here. But I'm serious, man. I just felt the fear of the Lord come on me. There's an actual baptism coming to the North Gate. A physical baptism to release a spiritual reality. It's a baptism of union. Devotion is not your quiet time in the morning with a cup of coffee and your favorite book. That is a part of devotion. I love that. I'm not against it. I'm saying it's a part. But actual devotion is union, constant, perfect union with the Father. You ready? So it says, all of us who are immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, we're immersed into union with his death. This is Romans 6, guys. I don't know if you're running this still, but Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 3. Have you forgotten that all of us who are immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, we're immersed into union with his death, sharing in his death by our baptism? Yep. So literal baptism they did. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Listen to this. For since we are permanently grafted into him, once saved, always saved, if you do it right. Yep. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Here's my favorite verse. Could it be any clearer? 2020's perfect vision. Wow. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever, yes, deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him. I was on the cross with Jesus. We were co-crucified with him. Why? To dismantle the stronghold of sin within us. so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Because, I love Paul saying this in verse 7, obviously a dead person is incapable of sinning. It's like a weekend at Bernie's. You're dead to sin and alive to God. I'm telling you, man, the baptism into Zion's realm, union, happy gospel, it is your inheritance. All those years of plowing. All those years that the spirit of religion drove this body, Yahweh says, I'm giving you double for those years. Think about how much work used to go in. I remember the gym days. I remember when Jimmy wanted to have a baptism in North, close to where Santa Claus lives. I was sick as a dog. He said, we're going to have a baptism outside. We broke some ice to get in that water. And God instantly healed me in those waters of baptism. Yeah, I had strep throat. Fevered. Hepatitis C. Healed in them waters that day. A baptism coming. I'm telling you. And when you're raised out of those waters of that mystical, beautiful union with the happy one, I'm telling you, you'll be forever dead to sin and fully alive to God. Can you accept that? Read one more thing. Man, oh man. I'm going to read the rest of Psalm 126 because it just hit me. He said, I'm going to give you double for the years that you were driven by religion. This is that whole, it was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and laughed, overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in. The Lord is, and they were saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. This is the nation singing this. Not you. This is nation singing this. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again. There's some people that you lost in the days that religion slave drove this place, and they're dry. And Yahweh says, streams of refreshing are about to find their dry hearts. And listen to this. Here's the word of the Lord I feel strongly right now. Those who sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. They may weep as they go out carrying their seed to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring back armloads of blessing and a harvest overflowing.
Okay, so this morning during worship, I saw like this gold light just like rushing through. And I heard the Lord say, there's a gold rush. There's coming a gold rush. And I just believe that there's the gold rush is here. Like, it's not coming, it's here. And so just sitting there, he just brought it back up to me. And when you were talking about the baptism, and I felt like, you know, yes, a natural baptism, but we're talking about a spiritual baptism as well. And I feel like that baptism is that baptism in the gold rush. And so I was looking up what gold represented, and it's the color of wealth, success, and status. The color gold is the color of success, achievement, and triumph. Associated with abundance and prosperity, luxury and quality, prestige and sophistication, value and elegance. The psychology of the color implies affluence, material wealth, and extravagance, but also spiritual wealth. We are rich in Him, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, I mean, the things that we inherit in Him is more valuable than anything that we could inherit in this earth. And then it says optimistic and positive. Gold adds richness and warmth to everything with which it is associated. It illuminates and enhances other things around it. So as we illuminate everything that we come in contact with. I mean, yes, that's what the Lord does. He makes all things beautiful. At the uppermost level, this is a color which is associated with higher ideals, wisdom, understanding, and enlightenment. It inspires knowledge, spirituality, and a deep understanding of the self and soul. So, in the spirit, it gives us wisdom and knowledge. And that's one thing that we declare to our sons and daughters, is that you are crowned with wisdom. Yeah. And even my natural, last night talking to Elijah, he was sharing things, and the Lord was just like, remind him, like, he is crowned in wisdom. And I just feel like I just want to release that to you all, even today. It's just that you all are crowned with wisdom, that you all are golden. And we declare to our sons and daughters that you are royalty, yes, in the earth. Yeah. We are royals because He is a king, and we are walking as kings and queens in the earth. Gold is the color of the winner. First place medals. You know, that's like thinking you failed, again, with what Mark shared this morning, is we are winners. He is our champion. That's so right. We win. He wins, so we win. So just, again, some of the positive things is success, abundance, wealth, understanding, self-worth. So seeing ourselves in Him is, He created all things. And when He created all things in creation, when He created us, He looked at it and He said, it is good. And so you are good. We are good. And we are created in His image. And even when we were singing this morning, it was like, we're talking about, you are beautiful. And I just felt Him singing that over us. And we need to see ourselves as beautiful in Him. Like, He looks at us and He says, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. So again, wisdom, compassion, love, passion, charisma, winning, optimistic, and positive. So again, just that renewing of your mind, getting those old thoughts out and being renewed in just receiving that spiritual baptism in gold and in who He is.
I want to just say this to what, when she was declaring this, because we know the gold standard.
Yep.
She saw a gold rush, and the Lord said, the gold rush is coming from the gold mind. Why'd you hear that? The gold rush is coming from the gold mind. Where's it? Oh, man. And that's what she was just saying a minute ago, is that that renewed mind, the crowned with wisdom, the gold mind is the renewed mind.
So I hadn't read this part, but I feel like I'm supposed to read it. It says, effects of gold, enlightenment. Gold at its highest level inspires knowledge, spirituality, and a deep understanding, and then compassion. So it affects compassion, caring, loving, generous, and giving. Generosity. Gold loves to share its wisdom, knowledge, and wealth with others.
Here's what I love about this. Des makes the statement, I don't know how this fits. Here's how it fits. When you allow Him to deal with a fractured heart and you allow Him to deal with your misidentification, then nothing but gold and goodness can come out of you. See yourself rightly through the eyes of God. We talked about at the men's meeting about in the book of Peter, the thing that he says all the time, you're chosen. One of the most dysfunctional disciples was Peter. But he gets a revelation in his old age that he is chosen and so are you. You're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You are chosen by God. And if you don't feel like you're chosen by God, then you listen to the voice of a liar. You listen to the voice of a liar because you are chosen, beloved, by him. You are a royal. And nothing will ever, listen, nobody can change your family name. Nobody. Nobody. So be blessed with that. Take this joy. Take the goodness of God. Spread it every day. You're contagious. There is a pandemic. The Davids are coming. Beloved is about to invade America again. Not the fear of heaven or hell. No, you're loved by God everywhere that you go. Everywhere that your foot touched, the Bible says that you are blessed.
Thank you for listening to this message from the North Gate. If you would like to donate to this ministry, please go to www.thenorthgateoh.com and click on the link at the bottom of the homepage.